Almost everybody in Spain has a pickpocket story. A story of how they were robbed or almost robbed while going about their daily business. Pickpocketing is pretty common in Barcelona and Madrid. I'm not sure about the smaller Spanish cities, but in big city Spain it's rampant, especially in the more touristy areas. Here in Barcelona, if you're on the Rambla, watch out. Be careful around Plaza de Catalunya and Puerta del Ángel. And if you're new in town or especially foreign-looking, be doubly careful all the time. In Madrid, something similar. Be careful around Sol, Plaza Mayor, Paseo del Prado. One friend's mom was even robbed inside the Almudena Cathedral years ago. Pickpockets tend to target people who look confused and distracted. If that's you, you're at higher risk. Better safe than sorry. Up here in the frozen north in Barcelona, I recently read an interesting article about the pickpocket industry. Did you know that from January to September 2023, there were 258 robberies per day here in Barcelona? I assume that number refers to police reports, and that not all instances end up being reported. The article doesn't clarify. When I was pickpocketed in London, though, it didn't even occur to me to go to a police station. I just hopped online to erase all my data, then bought a new phone. In any case, pickpockets, if caught, are taken to the police station and processed. As long as the amount they've stolen is less than 400 euros, the whole thing is considered a delito leve, petty crime, I guess, and in theory, they're given a court date within a week before being let go. The trial is brief, the pickpocket pays a fine, and everybody moves on. Except that's not what actually happens. These days, according to La Vanguardia, courts are so backed up that the trial date they're given is actually within 6 to 9 months, and the delays are increasing. Also, the statute of limitations on this sort of crime is 1 year. In other words, if they're not brought to trial within a year, the case is automatically archived and they're effectively not guilty. If the courts get so backed up there's no way to take anyone to trial in less than a year, apparently, there's a situation of legal impunity, and pickpockets just get away with it. That would, in my humble opinion, not be a good thing. All this in addition to the fact that if you look closely, the numbers suggest that most pickpockets aren't caught anyway. Once again, they don't clarify, but the number of trials is far less than the number of police reports filed. In any case, it's a system on the verge of collapse, and the local government is scratching its metaphorical head about what to do, given that Barcelona is already getting sort of a reputation for being unsafe. Hey everybody, it's Daniel. Welcome back to Spain to Go, the best podcast in the entire multiverse for all things Spain. This is episode 64, and it's about pickpockets and petty crime in Barcelona. First off, I would like to thank recent supporters of the podcast, Lani, Nancy, and Alex. Thank you all very much for donating. You can go to expatmadrid.com/donate to support the cause. I appreciate it. Any amount helps. And while you're there, please send me a little note saying why you love Spain, basically. I assume that the people who are listening here are mostly interested in moving to Spain. That's what the most common type of comment that I receive is. I'm moving to Spain in a few months, or I'm hoping to move to Spain in a few years, enjoying your podcast in the meantime. But I'm always happy to know your specific situation, if there's anything you'd like to hear. I can see if I can get together an episode about it. So expatmadrid.com/donate. Thank you very much, Alex, Lani, and Nancy, for your recent support. Okay, back to the main topic today, common pickpocket tactics and how to avoid them. So the first thing I want to do here is talk about a couple of common techniques that pickpockets use so that you can avoid them if possible. First up, pickpockets tend to work in crowded areas where you're already confused and distracted. In most Spanish cities, that means the whole center. Shopping streets, nightlife areas, and the metro are all fair game. They might come up behind you in a crowded place and snatch your stuff before you ever see them. Keep backpacks and handbags zipped and in front of you, and wallets in a front pocket to avoid this. Thieves might also be carrying a paper map or a petition of some kind for you to sign. In that case, they'll come up to your table in a cafe and put the paper in your face, using the moment of distraction to grab your phone, etc., off the table. That is very common. Then there's the jacket on the arm trick, which isn't even really a trick per se, but you're on the metro and somebody has a bulky jacket draped over their arm, obscuring their hands and giving them an excuse to bump into people. Perfectly normal on a crowded train in winter, except that sometimes they're using the bump and the covered hands to reach into your bag or pocket. And here's one I didn't used to believe, but now I do. Pickpockets may hang around signs warning of their presence. People read the sign, then tap their valuables to make sure they've still got them. An observant pickpocket now knows where you're keeping your wallet. Like I said, I didn't used to place much stock in this one, but the other day I was on the metro and an announcement came on warning of the presence of carteristas. That's the Spanish word for pickpockets, comes from the word cartera, which is wallet. Of course, the announcement for carteristas came on over the loudspeaker, and the first thing I did was reach into my pockets to make sure I still had my wallet and my phone. So did a few other people in my line of sight. Oops. Anyway, plenty of other things can happen. Someone might grab your phone out of your hand while you're walking past distracted. Electric scooters are fast enough that somebody could grab your bag and be a block away before you've gotten over the surprise. Pickpockets sometimes work in teams, so if you catch the person who actually robbed you, they don't have your stuff anyway. It was passed off surreptitiously to an accomplice who's walking the opposite direction. So just watch out. My personal experience, when I was living closer to the center of Barcelona, I'd have guys come up behind me to ask for a cigarette or a light. They'd tap me on the shoulder as a distraction, or ask me where I'm from, and then go reaching for my pockets. I'm pretty alert to this game, but I also look like a ginger guy who's not native to this climate. So they try, thinking I'm just another tourist. Sometimes it even works. Morena had her wallet stolen at a street fair in Madrid years ago. It was a very busy situation. My phone was stolen in a pub in London as I tried to carry two drinks from the bar back to our table. Morena and I are both innately paranoid people who have been around this sort of thing a lot, and it still happened. So be careful. Next up, should you take a self-defense class? Well, some people have a pickpocket experience or get robbed by someone using force, which is less common but does happen, and then think they should go to some sort of self-defense course. And that's fine. A lot of pickpockets will just run if you catch them in the act, so you might not need to defend yourself at all. They might even give you back your stuff and then run. There's not much to do in that case. It's not a great idea to chase them. And even if you catch them, there's probably nothing the police can or will do. Attempted pickpocketing isn't high on anyone's list of things to prosecute. Anyway, I've got a lot to say about self-defense. First off, let's talk about martial arts. Martial arts are great, and everybody should do some, especially men, and especially women, for different reasons. Having said that, a lot of martial arts aren't going to be too great for self-defense. For example, back in the day, I did a form of karate that emphasized self-defense. There was a lot of silly stuff about here's how to grab someone's wrist if they pull a gun on you, or here's how to fight off three opponents at once using only a bamboo stick, etc. I've also done plenty of boxing, which seems more realistic. Knowing how to punch someone effectively is great, but please don't attempt to disarm someone with your bare hands or fight three guys simultaneously. These days, I do a lot of Brazilian jiu-jitsu, which is allegedly pretty good for a real fight, but honestly, it would be much better to just avoid the whole situation of being on the ground underneath someone who wants to choke you. Trust me. In any case, I've got more fun facts about pickpockets and petty crime in Barcelona, but first, my top four real-life self-defense techniques. What's the most effective self-defense technique? Well, you might be a bit surprised by this, but here's the list of the top ways you can keep yourself safe in the city. Number one, not being in a dangerous situation. If you're walking down a dark street at 3 a.m., drunk or high, and you get robbed or stabbed or worse, I feel bad for you, of course. But your first and most effective self-defense technique is not being on that dark street at 3 a.m. in the first place. There's a series of choices that got you there. Next time, do something different. Avoid dangerous situations. Two, situational awareness. Pickpockets often strike in normal daylight situations, so avoidance isn't always an option. But you can be alert. Watch out behind you, be careful with anyone walking too closely. Wear a bag in front of your body, keep your wallet in a front pocket or an inside jacket pocket. If you're at a restaurant, don't leave your bag in an exposed space, and try to sit with your back towards a wall so you can see the room. If you are on that dark street late at night, look around, watch behind you, make sure nobody's hiding in the shadows. Self-defense technique number three, run away. You really don't want to get in a fight with somebody who doesn't care if they go to prison. For them, the worst case is that they go to prison, and they don't care. For you, the worst case is that you end up dead or in a coma or something similar. You have nothing to gain by fighting some career lowlife. It's better to just run away. Finally, number four, strike once and then run away. If you absolutely have to, you can poke someone in the eye, kick them in the nuts, assuming they have nuts, or smash their nose with the heel of your hand. But beware of any techniques you may have seen that suggest someone will react a certain way if you hit them. Last time someone tried to ask me for a light here in Barcelona, I got my hands up in his face in a fence position. Classic self-defense technique, basically to keep a safe distance. He just kind of smiled lazily and asked for a light again. I could see he was high as balls, and I kind of backed away, and he slunk off to find an easier target. I didn't hit him, but I can pretty much guarantee that if we'd fought, his drug-addled state would have made it much different than sparring with an opponent at the gym. There's a lot more to say here, of course. Projecting confidence may or may not be part of your vibe, but it probably works, as does not looking like an easy target. But if you're smaller or super foreign-looking, or lost and confused because you got to town 2 hours ago, you're going to be easy to spot anyway. Notice, before we move on, that I did not at any point suggest standing there and fighting someone who may have very little to lose. Don't do it. Losing your new iPhone is way better than losing an eye. In any case, self-defense classes are great, and martial arts will make you a better human. In addition to helping you project confidence, they'll give you some discipline, some humility, some resilience, and some good cardio. Also, I don't know you, but I'll bet you could stand to spend more time doing hard physical things in your life in order to escape the modern comfort crisis. There's a book called The Comfort Crisis by Michael Easter. I recommend it a lot if you're into that kind of thing. If you're not into that kind of thing, I recommend it a lot also. The Comfort Crisis. Anyway, before we finish up today, here's some more fun facts about pickpockets and assorted criminals in Barcelona. Remember newspapers? People used to subscribe to them, and kids on bike would toss them up on your porch every morning. You know, in the 50s of the last century. My dad was always somewhat disappointed that I didn't follow in his footsteps and get a job as a paperboy when I was 8 or 10. I guess he wasn't keeping up with current child labor laws. Anyway, as a gentleman of a certain age myself these days, I'm a paying subscriber to La Vanguardia newspaper online. So let me regale you with some fun facts about pickpockets and other assorted criminals in Barcelona that I've gleaned from putting the word hurto into their search function. Hurto is just a small-time theft or robbery, I guess. First, hurtos on the metro were recently up 47% year-on-year. That's again in the first 9 months of 2023. There were also 447 violent muggings on the metro in that time. So be careful on the train, but also on the escalators. While you're zoned out looking at your phone, someone else is probably right behind you, and they might not have the best of intentions. Second, in December 2023, just over a month ago at the time I'm recording this, a group of thieves on electric scooters stole a watch valued at 500,000 euros from a tourist on Passeig de Gracia. While I find it hard to feel too bad for someone who has $500,000 to spend on a watch, it's worth keeping in mind that Barcelona isn't the best place to be wandering the streets in expensive stuff. Maybe wear your wildly expensive timepiece at the yacht club, but not on the public thoroughfare. Third, two thieves from Kosovo were recently apprehended by police after stealing a Louis Vuitton carry-on at the airport. The bag held jewelry worth 8.5 million euros. Soon after, a wave of criminals descended on El Prat airport, presumably they'd heard about the whole thing and wanted to try their luck as well. Police then spent the rest of the week expelling thieves from the terminals. In the case of the Louis Vuitton carry-on with the 8.5 million in jewelry, everything was recovered and given back to the tourists who were, you know, leaving town. And I assume that stealing something that valuable gets you a different sort of treatment from the police than you would get if you just stole somebody's wallet with 50 bucks in it. Lastly, not even your bones are safe in Barcelona. This last one has nothing to do with pickpockets, but the story made me jump when I read it last year. The cemetery at Montjuïc has reported that at least 160, and possibly as many as 300, tombs had been broken into, with criminals supposedly looking for valuables in among the bones. These days, most people don't bury their loved ones with expensive jewelry, but the tombs that were broken into were older and who knows. There haven't been any follow-ups to the original articles last August, so I guess nobody has been caught for this, and it's an open case. Anyway, Spain's legal system seems to have some interesting loopholes. I am not a lawyer, obviously, but as a foreigner in Spain, I've had plenty of contact with the legal system. It's something I've become more interested in with time. One of the problems contributing to the pickpocket situation, apparently, is that the penal code doesn't have much of a plan for what to do with people who commit the same crimes over and over. The top pickpockets in Barcelona, again according to La Vanguardia, can be arrested and released dozens of times while waiting for a court date. When their court date finally comes, they're in and out of prison in a few months, and they go back out on the streets like nothing happened. The Catalan Generalitat, the regional government, has petitioned the central government in Madrid to take some sort of action in the form of writing stricter laws, but as of now, that's how things stand. So, be safe out there, pay attention to your surroundings, and I hope you have a great time visiting Spain. That's about all I've got for today. Some other interesting legal loopholes that I've talked about are cannabis. The cannabis situation in Barcelona is episode 35. You can listen to that if you would like. There is episode 39, which is about ocupas, squatters who are living in, you know, houses or commercial spaces that they do not own and are not renting. We recently moved into a new house in a new neighborhood, and we've got some squatters downstairs here too, just like in the last place. I don't know exactly how common it is, because it's usually not the kind of thing you're paying attention to when you walk around, but if you walk down the same street, you know, a few dozen times, you tend to notice these things. So we got squatters pretty much everywhere here in Barcelona. I guess prostitution is not exactly a legal loophole. It's just not illegal or legal. It's, well, I guess that is a legal loophole. In Spanish, they have a proverb, echa la ley, echa la trampa. So prostitution is unregulated and exists in many forms. That is episode 27, if you want to listen to that. I recently read that the government is getting serious about trying to abolish prostitution. If something happens there, I might do a follow-up once I have some information about how that's going. Like I said, you can donate to the blog, expatmadrid.com/donate. If you donate, please send me a message letting me know why you're interested in Spain, etc. You can subscribe to the channel or the podcast. You can head to YouTube, where I have Learn Spanish with Daniel. Most of the episodes of this podcast are also up on YouTube there. Just Google Learn Spanish with Daniel and you'll probably find me. That is pretty self-explanatory. I teach some Spanish. If you go to expatmadrid.com, you've got articles about all kinds of things. I live in Barcelona now, but expatmadrid.com is where the website has been for a long time, and I'm keeping it there. That has quite a bit of content that doesn't make it onto the podcast for whatever reason. You can do some reading. You can send me a message through the blog. You can follow me on Instagram. Just look for my name, Daniel Welsch, W-E-L-S-C-H. That's about all I've got. I hope you have a great day, and thanks for listening. Hasta la próxima. Bye.